ended off with the idea of we spoke about Hashgachas Hashem, and then we spoke about how the Ikar is Kavana, and the Ikar Yigia is to cut everything off except for learning, and to Mekadesh Atzmo with B'Shmiras Habris. That was the end. And then we got into this discussion about Hatzlacha, and it was there that we split Hatzlacha up into two pieces, both the energy needed and the kivun. And that's where we spoke of being the Zachar. You were proud that I moved from alpha male to Zachar. That was right. A big
That's the only thing I remember from last week.
So, but really where we left off was this concept that there is the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara really is the Yetzer of ambition and driving towards something.
Oh.
And the Yetzer Tov really is the kivun, right. Picking our heads up higher,
that's right.
So that we've got bigger hasagas than just... And then another thing, just to add in what you said last week, which was a total blow away, was that Shmiras Habris doesn't just mean how we grew up with Shmiras Habris. Shmiras Habris is an expanded definition of Shmiras Habris.
Right.
How we deal with the world.
Right.
So
physical tithes.
Right. Physical tithes. So now, when the Yetzer Hara is telling us to focus our energy on physical tithes, now we're violating Shmiras Habris. But when we lift up our eyes and we use the Yetzer Tov to set the kivun, and we bring the Yetzer Hara to work for the Yetzer Tov. Now we're in a different game.
That's
where Yigia comes in. And all.
Okay. That's right.
That's where we left.
Okay, so there's a lot of topics there. Oh, Kain is here.
Kain.
Okay, so let's pick one of these, and should we talk about Yesod versus Malchus? Should we talk about Yetzer Tov versus Yetzer Hara? Which one? Where should we start?
Pick one.
I'm going to incline towards Yisod Malchus, but I don't know if that's right.
I am too.
Yisod Malchus, yeah? Yeah, Chav's not even saying
it. Yisod Malchus is going to get...
I'm trying to bring the Argonauts down to Yisod Malchus.
That was a one-track mind. Okay. So you basically, all of the spheres, which are 10, are Nichlal in two spheres, which is Yisod and Malchus. Yesod is considered to be the Kolel, and the Malchus is called the Kolel, the Kolel. And just to see that in terms of the structure of the Malchus, how it works, so Keser is the top, and let's say that's where the Shefa initiates, and then the way that the Shefa comes down is like, what are those games which are like obsolete now where you used to push the things on the side and knock the ball? Pinball. That's what it's like. It's like a pinball. So it goes from Keser to Chachma and then to Bina and then to Das, Chesed, Bur, Tiferes, Netzachot, Yesod. Yesod is considered to be the Keli, which is the Mashpia. The Malchus is the Makaba. So destination Aleph is to get it from Keser to Yesod. It's ready to be given. And then the receiver is the Malchus. Okay? Just let's say Ziva Gishvesha, right? So we know that the Tipa comes from the Machshava. And so that's why at the time of Yichud, between husband and wife, so the machshava of the Zachar and the Nekeva, the Ish v'Isha, is instrumental because it's forming the Zer. It's forming the Zer. So according to the Kedushas HaMachshava at the time will determine the creation of the Zer. It's just that it's not enough that there has to be a machshava, there has to be a pula as well. So what happens is that from the Das, it goes down through the Midos, and it comes to the Yesod, and it's ready to be given over. But the Zera itself is a Chabadika creation. That's why it's so fascinating, the whole thing, because everything which comes into this world has to come in concrete form. So let's say there's a Machshava to create a Sefer, yeah? So these are all my thoughts, right? And these thoughts have to be written down in letters and then put into a Sefer, right? Or let's say a hammer, right? So a person has a thought, oh, I need a hammer, so you create it and you put it into a hammer. The more physical something is, the more ma'isa dikapula it has, the less that the mochin, that the chabad are present. Which is why a hammer is very little machshava goes behind it, so it's very gush, it's very ma'isa dik, and so the chabad of it is not very apparent. Mashenkin a sefer, for example, right? There's very little gashmias to this, because even the gashmi of it is really mochin. Like you're opening this up, you're getting collective thought. The representation of a sefer in the spiritual world, where the ma'isa of it is actually a mochin, if I'm making any sense, is the zera. The zera has very, very little mamashos, you understand? There's kemat no gush to it at all. And the reason why is because it's kulo ruchni. And really what the interaction that the ish has with the isha is that he's giving her a chabad. He's giving her something which kemat has no mamashas in this world whatsoever. It's like fire. It's like ore. You can't touch it. That's why the Zohar says that zera. Oh, wow. Now we're getting there. Seth is here. Present. Wow.
Live. It's huge.
Where are you, Andy?
Yeah, Andy. can you hear us, Andy? There you are. Come up. What are you doing?
I can't hear you.
You're on mute.
We muted you.
What? Say again. I said, where were you?
Where am I? I'm running Erev Shabbos errands.
Oh, please.
What do you think we're doing over here?
Is there...
I don't know if I had Sparty blood in me. If I had a little Sparty blood in me, at least it'd be better.
Okay,
you need some Sparty blood. Well, that's what we're learning in Sudden Malchus over here.
We'll take that one. We'll take that.
I hope to come soon, Mitch. Okay, go on. I don't want to disturb. Go on.
Okay, go on. Continue on your errands. So, the mochin... The tipa is or. It's mamash kulu or. That's what it is. The Zohar says that the tipa shel zera is a combination of or, maim, and rakia. That's what it is. It's kulu ruchni. So the yesod is the giver, and the malchus is the receiver, and it's kulu all midos. What that means practically, now let's get practical, is that Yesod represents drive. Malchus represents emuna. Yesod is taiva, Malchus is emuna, and in this generation, which is the last generation before Mashiach Tzidkenu, which is like the bottom, which is like the end of the siras, the avoda which we have most in this generation is on these two things: Malchus, Yesod. These are called the Shnei Sha'arim, Pischuli Shari Tzedek, that the way to come in, because you always have to come in from below, you come in from below through Malchus and Yesod. The two Psachim into the world of Kedusha is Emuna and Yesod. Malchus and Yesod, which translates into Emuna and Kedusha. Those are the ways, that's the way into the portal of Kedusha, into like Madrigas and Kirvas Elokim.
Is it Emuna?
Emuna. Malchus translates into Emuna.
But you have to come in through Malchus though, right? You can't come in through Yesod.
That's right. It's coming through Malchus, that's a Pesach of Emuna. And then the next step is Yesod, which is Kaddish Atzmach HaMetalach, how a person is Mekaddish himself. Those are the two doorways to get into living in a spiritual world. It's Kafi a person's Emuna, and it's Kafi a person's determination, how much he's Mekaddish himself. And what that means to be Mekaddish himself, it means two things. One is Basur Meira, and the other one is Aseh Tov. Tell me if I'm going too fast. If we need Hesber, just, that's what a Chabur is. We can pause and talk about it. Sur Mira means to detach oneself from the physical world. It doesn't mean, and we're going very quickly through this topic because we're short on time, doesn't mean that a person has to be pirish himself. It means that whatever a person is engaging in the physical world, he's not connected to it. It's not like when he has, and I'm guilty of this, I'm saying the words, it's not like when a person is like eating a rugalach, you know, that the idea is that you shouldn't feel guilty. It just means that how much are you connected to that? Meaning, whenever we do pool lists, we're like, how much are we in the moment? You know, when we're eating the ragalach, how much are we like really like savoring the moment of like, I'm eating the ragalach? Like everything else around me pauses. Like if somebody would come say, but I can ask you a question, you'd be like, wait, I have to finish my ragalach first. Or you'd be frustrated that somebody's bothering you while you're eating your ragalach. That's the measure. Of course, everybody will be nice and everybody will put a nice smile, but you'll be holding hands and you won't want to really put it down. You know, you're trying to show the person you're really eating ragalach right now, why are you bothering me? That feeling of how much am I connected to the pu'ula, that if I had to stop it right now, because something came up which is more important, how much would I feel like ruin the moment?
Can you be accomplished through Purish also? Or?
Yeah, but that's not the best way is not to be Purish, because it comes with a... we don't have the koiches nowadays for that. We're very fragile. We're very sensitive and we're very fragile. And it's very hard for us to engage in that, and we're going to fall more than we're going to move forward. The best way to do that is to replace. It's like the kinyan chalipin. One of the modes of kinyan is kinyan chalipin, and kinyan chalipin means to exchange. Meaning like this. The aspect of sur meira, which means to detach, and again, Detaching can mean the hard way, which is through precious, or it can mean the following way, which is going to be not being connected while going through the pulis. A person always has to attach himself to something. We're people who that we attach ourselves by nature. So it's as that comes in life. If we're not attaching ourselves to the spiritual things, we're going to be attached to the physical. And the more that we detach from the physical, it allows us to attach to the spiritual. The way to do this properly is to involve oneself in a regiment of Kedusha. That a person is on a road, he's on a derech of connecting himself to Ruchnius. So therefore, a person will be very willing to let go of physical connections which he has, because he's replacing them with spiritual connections. So the more that a person is being makasher himself to Ruchnius Dika Taivas, which are the better Taivas in the end of the day, because Hashem says, Davna says, Vani Kivas Elokim Litoiv, and that's the claims, that's his mantra, Kivas Elokim. Vani Kivas Elokim Litoiv, that's what David HaMelech said. Torah and mitzvahs, the more that a person is finding himself connecting to that, he's able to let go of those things. If a person is not, a person who tries to rid himself of his connecting to a pleasure is oismensch. And it's not, he's going to be destroying the fabric of who he is as a person. You can't take away time from a person. Huh?
This is when you get to the next level when the vacuum turns on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we're ready to roll.
Yeah. Yeah.
A side point about being connected. I'm finding a lot of people nowadays are not even connected to Rogala properly. So
who?
There are people.
Just an increased amount of connection.
Connection and being able to say, okay, I'm putting everything else aside. I'm going to sit down now and enjoy what I'm doing. People don't have the ability to do that.
I see.
No, they are. Let's break it down. What we're talking about here is the connection to stimuli. So you're right. The stimulus that are contained in Rogalach are being lost, so they're connecting to a higher power stimulus object called a phone.
No, but the point is not being able to focus for more than a very short period of time on whatever it is that's in front of you. So we want to say, okay, let's focus on Ruchnius, get the enjoyment out of Ruchnius things, instead of getting that enjoyment out of Gashmius. I'm saying we're not even at the level of getting the enjoyment out of Gashmius, because we're so busy flying back and forth from
I know guys that are like, they spend like 4 hours about some steak they ate, and
yeah, okay.
It becomes
so
a whole thing.
So those guys are on a high level. We could get them.
Like, you know,
we could get
saying?
Them
like,
very quickly and so enjoy
yeah, the pleasures, as we gain more material wealth, the pleasures have to increase, because in order to gain the same sipuk out of a pleasure, right, it always has to go up.
You have to, yeah.
But you're right. People are now increasing. You know, sometimes you hear someone like that's older tell over like, you know, it's a nice cholent, and everyone's like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? Because everyone's holding in much higher levels of physical pleasure. But I see it all the time. We connect ourselves to physicality, and it gives us a different level.
I think what I'm saying is actually, we never realized it before, there's actually a lower level of being connected to physicality. And that's, you're so unable to actually just focus on anything.
Yeah, for sure.
No, there are people that they lose themselves, that they're not living in the present moment, that there's a lack of yeshiva das, there's a lack of self-awareness, there's a numbness of the self that many people have put themselves in, where they're not connecting to anything because they're lacking that sense of self, or they may even feel guilty connecting to something which is like not worth connecting to, which is maybe a little bit of a better madriga, if that's the seba for it. But you're right, a person has to feel like a bar hachi to feel like he's a connector, that he can connect to something. Once we're there, we have to make a choice what we're going to connect to. Are we going to connect to physical tainug or spiritual tainug? Precious is a danger, because if a person is detaching himself from pleasure without replacing it, then he becomes in danger mode, that if he's not connected to anything, then he's just going to be resentful, because he's taking away the fact that a ben adam is a bar tainug, like we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. He was created in Gan Eden, and he was created to be a human being. Knows, the neshama knows, that it was created to receive pleasure. And so if you take away the pleasure from the adam, he's ois mensch, because he's a shtick tainug, and he needs to have tainug in his life. So the chalip in Kenyan is much better, because we're sending a person on a path of replacing poor time of choice for better time of choice. That's what your soda is.
Yeah. You start off by saying the very beginning about the tikva and the man and the woman.
Yeah.
How does that translate into this?
Oh, so I'm going to use that for the next thing.
Also, the summary of that correlates to the malchus and yisrael.
No, that's just. Sumer and Asitov can actually be in anything. It can be in any sphere. You could talk about it from both ways, from the detach and the connect. Right now we're talking about Yesod. The Yesod is an aspect of Sumerah, which is the process of detaching from pleasures which Hashem Yisrael doesn't consider to be pleasures. Again, the things which we engage in, which we call pleasures, is a distortion of its purpose of creation. Meaning, why did the Kodesh Baruch Hu create time or a taste behind food? You know why? Because we would never put it into our bodies if it didn't taste good. And we wouldn't want to put it in, because imagine if you have to put something. We know what it's like to eat something which has no taste. It's painful, and it's just now we just have something going down our system, which is like, why is it there? Why do we want that? So Hashem gave it a taste so that we would. It's like an incentive to eat it because you need it for your chiyus. You understand? If you take away food which was meant for chayim, and you turn that chayim into a toiv, you see the difference between chayim and toiv. We've spoken about this in the past. Chayim is essential meat. It's what you need to survive. Tov is just like for the pleasure of it. So the culture of taking food, which was meant to be chayim, and it becomes a tov, is a distortion, if you want to be real. It's a distortion of its purpose of creation. Which is why the Sfarim speaks so harshly about that. Sadik oichel asay v'nafshay, Ubetin Rishoyin Techsar Mamash, Shom Melch is very harsh about such a person. Why? Because if you're a tachlis oriented person, if you talk about this food and you understand that it has a purpose and you have a purpose, so not only are you going off the deep end in terms of your purpose for not using food for what it's meant for properly, you're also sending this food off the deep end because you're distorting its purpose too. On a spiritual level, you talk about Nitzaitzin and where it goes and the Churbin, and then if a person who's thinking about his purpose in life, there's very little, Mamash mixing many sugis together. There's very little difference between doing an aveir or eating a juicy steak at Lamare Allah Shalom. Is it still around, Lamare? Yeah, still around? I'm thinking about Abigail living. So there's very little difference between those two things. Because the tachlis is to become an Adam Kadosh. So what's the difference if you're doing an aveir or if you're being Megashim yourself because you're eating a juicy steak? There's a destination and you're going the wrong way. That's a subject in and of itself. We're just throwing in there just because it fell into the discussion.
But it's very relevant because it's dafka where you are on the Eitz Tov scale. Like if a person wants to figure out where they're on the Eitz Tov scale, it's not going to be iser. You could be avoiding virus because you're scared God's going to zap you. But if you're owning the steak, let's say, and it's totally kosher, that's more of an indication of where you're holding than in some ways. I'm saying like.
In terms of the tachlis.
In tachlis, right.
That's
eating
right.
To live versus living to eat.
Right. That's how you sum it up.
But it's even more than that. It's like, do you daven quickly? It's even more than that. Is Judaism in your way?
Right.
Is there a way to get that from the tov with the same item back to it being chayim without... I mean, that steak could still be chayim.
The reason why it's tov is because I haven't processed ein toiv ela Torah. Meaning, as the Torah becomes Tov, we know Torah is called Chaim. Eitz Chaim here in the Machazikimba. Torah is like food to the Neshama. You need food to eat. Your Neshama needs Torah to live. So a person can learn Torah because it's Chaim, because he has to. I can also learn Torah because of Dishma, and that's called Tov. When Torah becomes not just Chaim, it becomes Tov, then you've entered the world of Yesod the Kedusha. That now, since Torah is your Tov, so then your food isn't your Tov anymore. Your food is now your Chaim. So your food will always be your Chaim and your Torah will always be your Chaim. The Tov will be swaying like this. How much Tov the Torah will be less Tov that the steak is going to have.
But let's break it down for a second, because the truth is, in my, as I'm thinking this through, you can't get there without precious. But not macro precious, micro precious. Like, if anyone's ever dieted before, you cannot think that an apple tastes good unless you get rid of sugar. Because once you get rid of sugar and you get a banana, you're like, holy mackerel. But if you're eating chocolate bars, you're not picking a banana. And you can swing by the week.
Yeah.
So there's no way Torah can taste good if Torah is competing with the physical world. So you have to have some level of micro-precious.
That's right. That's why Emunah comes before Yisod, by the way. Emunah means you take the leap of faith to detach yourself before coming to Yesod, that you believe the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the Torah Tov is going to be better than the Gashmi Tov.
But don't you run into the same problem we talked about, where if the Tov that you're seeing in Torah is because you just enjoy it intellectually, then
that's not going to work. You know why? Because that Tov, which comes from Torah intellectual, although it's a Mitzvah Shel Sholishma, that doesn't have to compete with the Tainug of the Gashmis. That's also a Gashmis Dika Tainug, understand? That can coexist. That can coexist with the other Tainug of the Gashmis world.
That's a good one.
There's a Mitzvah Shel Sholishma on that for sure. But That's right. The first thing, which is always what Emunah represents, is that a person makes a choice called Bechart B'chai. When a person makes a choice that he's been Boicher B'chai, which comes from Emunah, that's a leap of faith. Hashem sends him a whoosh of Siyata D'Shemaya to be able to be Matzliach. Because he trusts Ribbono Shel Olam enough that he's Boicher in the Tachlis that Hashem wants from him. That he says, I'm not living my life for my own purpose, I'm living my life for your purpose. When you align yourself with Hashem, and that's what's called Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim. When there's a moment of Kabbalah, we spent a lot of time talking about in Rosh Hashanah, by the way. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim. The beginning of the year, the Avodah is to be Mekabel Salmach HaShemayim, which means you may not like it, it may be hard. It may not be what you think you want for yourself. But because you recognize that I'm a visitor in this world, I'm a creation of Hashem, and I'm here for His purpose and not mine, and I accept that upon myself, I get the Siyata D'Shemayim to be able to do the tough things. And that the hardest thing of them all is that detachment. It's to detach yourself from the life, which the only type of life which you know is this physical life. You nursed on this life. Everything was this life. But that Siyata D'Shemayah comes from the leap of faith of Emunah, which is what Malchus is preceding this load, to believe in the acceptance of the Bechart B'chai.
Is it possible to get a taste of the Torah of Torah before even this micro pieces? And then once you have that taste, like then you can have Emunah that the taste is going to completely fulfill that.
Absolutely. That's inspiration. That's the chesed that Hashem does for us. That's what Pesach is relevant to Shavuos and Sefirat Yomer. There's always a flash of chesed that Hashem sends us, which is a Toyameh Chaim Zachu, like on Erev Shabbos, that a tzaddik has before Shabbos. Which gives a person, the problem is that if we get caught up in that and we don't realize that that's just a gift to get us going, and we're like, oh, I'm living the life. I have the Gashmias, I have the Tayyamei Chaim Zachu, I have it set. Then at some point Hashem will take away the Tayyamei Chaim Zachu. It'll come back because Hashem is a big Rachman. But a person has to recognize that Tayyamei Chaim Zachu is an appetizer, that it's wetting the palate, that Hashem is saying, tastes good, right? You want more of this? Put in the work. Put in the work, and you're going to see that this is only just a me'ein of the timing which I have to give to you.
It's for Solomon, that's so serious, right? Pesach,
yeah. Which
gives us all the arm on the El Seder.
Yeah, see, the Nisan is it the goat? You put the goat, and then Iyar is the ox, is the plow, and the moving, and then Sivan is the Gemini, the point, the combination, is the connection between the Nisan and Gemini.
Aren't we getting dangerously close to the Torah that we spoke about from Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah, which essentially we came to the conclusion that you need to be Kaddish Atzma Mutterlof, or it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. It is what we're saying.
It's controversial. Yeah,
meaning like this.
Right?
If a person wants to be Yoytzei Zayin, his Chiyuv Mitzvahs in this world, and he wants to make sure that he doesn't do any Averis, and he makes sure that he does all the Mitzvahs, it doesn't require so much of a Kaddish Atzma Mutterlof. But that's not the Tachlis. Hashem didn't create a system called the Torah Tarag Mitzvahs that we should like be careful not to step on the cracks and to like kind of navigate our way through this life. The Ramban calls it a novel Birshus HaTorah, right? That you're like you're a mace. You're not a Bechart B'chaim. You're just trying to live your life. Just again trying to not step on the cracks. But that's not what Hashem wanted from the Torah. Hashem created the world with a tachlis, which is called Nasa Adam. Which is the first Rashi in Torah. How did that come up last? That was last week we talked about the first Rashi in Torah?
Last week.
I think so. Yeah. Meaning the first Rashi in Torah is like, why do we need all this stuff? Why don't we just start with the Chodesh HaZalachem? Torah says it because you want to know the direction that Hashem is taking you with the Torah. If Hashem just says, HaChodesh HaZalachem, this is not Rashi's answer, but this is an answer. HaChodesh HaZalachem just says, would just be, okay, there's a list of, there's a series of rules and laws and regulations. There's 613 of them. Be careful not to mess them up. That would be what the Torah would be telling us if it started with mitzvahs. Hashem says, no. I created an Adam. There were great people like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moseg Yemaisa Maisa Avaisai. What does it mean, Nasa Adam? What's the purpose of all these mitzvahs? What am I striving to become? And then here's how to get there. But you can't get, the tachas is to get to that daga called Nasa Adam. And Torah mitzvahs are the tools to be able to achieve Nasa Adam. Not just to be Mekayim, the Ratzon Hashem of don't do this and just do that. The Torah is not a book of laws and rules and regulations. It's to teach us a picture. There's an entire tachlis that Hashem wants out of this world, which is that, like that Adam that I created, that's you. If I say Nasa Adam, like you said, put your name in there. Nasa Yeshua, Nasa Shmuel. Put your name on that line and say, that's going to be me, and now use Torah mitzvahs to get there. That's called the Avdo Deshama. See yourself as the Adam in the Gan. Use these Torah mitzvahs to achieve the darga of that Adam. So now, how does Yesod in Malchus fit into what we spoke about, the first thing we spoke about, which is Yetzer Hara and Yetzer Tov? Okay. There's two things. I'm gonna go dip into Shaul's world again. In a sports team, yeah? Sports team.
So happy to have you.
Every team needs two important players. People on the team, on the squad. First is the coach, and the second is the captain of the team. There's the coach, which will determine the tachlis. He's in charge of the tachlis. But the captain is in charge of the motivation. The best player, the captain is not always the best player. It usually goes hand in hand, because the people who are the best, because they're the most driven. But it's not always true that the best player is the most driven. Growing up, when I played basketball in high school, so I was the captain, but I wasn't the most motivational. You know who's most motivational? The guy who doesn't get any minutes. You know that guy? That he's like, he's the most on fire. He gets in the last minute of the ball game. But everybody, he's like, you know, say, he's not the goof of the team, but he's like the guy who, he's geschmack. He's on the team because he's geschmack, but he's the last guy that you put on the court, right? That guy was the most inspirational guy on the team. More inspirational than me, right? So to me, he was the captain. Because he was the one who was firing everybody up. So why did I get the C? Because I was one of the better players on the team, so I got the C. But that's a distortion of the real captain, understand? It's like, who's the Gadol B'Yisrael? Is it because he's the son of the one who was a previous Gadol? That's why he gets the C on his jersey? No. The reason why you become a Gadol is because even if you're an Avraham ben Terach, you still get the C. Why? Because you're the most motivational person. You're the most driven person. So you may be very motivational. You can drive people, but you can't be the coach because you don't know enough to be the coach. Somebody can be very good at inspiring people, but he can't be the coach because he doesn't know enough to actually lead them to the right, to steer them into the tachlis. So you need the coach and you need the captain. The coach is the melech. That's called the malach. The coach knows what the destination is, what we're shooting for. He has his eye on the trophy. Understand? And he has the wisdom to get you to the trophy. The captain doesn't have the wisdom, but he has the inspiration. Yesod is all about drive. It's all about drive. That's called the Abraham Bris. That's where all the taivas are. The drive of a person, how much a person is motivated, is called his yesod. And usually those people, if they're not careful, a person can be driven in many ways. So just because a person is driven spiritually doesn't mean he can't be driven to all different types of taivas too. Many times we find a person, he's very motivated in ruchnias, but he's also very motivated in gashmias. Because there's no shmira. That's called Shmiras Habris. Shmiras Habris means to make sure that your motivational energy is focused in the right direction. And it's not just everywhere. Because if a person is just everywhere motivated, then he's just a Baal Taiva. And even the fact that he's motivated towards Ruchnias is not because he's really motivated towards Ruchnias. He's really just motivated towards the Tainug of the Ruchnias. But not because he's motivated towards the goal.
Or to winning.
Right. And to winning, yeah. It's
like, in this world, winning, like this right. Happens a lot. But I want, if you go through the modern Orthodox system, you see this a lot. You see the guys that are great at sports, sometimes they go to Eretz Yisrael and they're, in the first 2 months, they're like killing it. It's because they like winning.
Right.
And they, you know, winning last year was hockey. And then winning this year is sheer. Yeah. So they just, you can see right away, they're like, okay, whatever. This is now the new way to win. Like, let's win. It's mamish like that you say.
Right.
You could write a book.
What?
You could write a book.
It's crazy.
Let's be compared to Abraham and Eliezer.
Possibly. Yeah. Oh, in the parasha, you mean? Yeah, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, speak it out, maybe.
Okay, so Abraham was the coach and giving, was giving Eliezer the direction.
Mm-hmm.
But Abraham understood the danger of that motivation.
Yeah, it's certainly darshan that, yeah. Eliezer is called Yisod. In Chassidus Kabbalah, Eliezer is called Yisod. And Avram is called Malchus. Right? You know that Avraham, two times Avram is Gematria Malchus. That's why the Malach says to Avram, Avraham, Avraham. Right? When he, by the Akedah, there was a certain gilui about Avram's Malchus, that he was Zeichet, even before that he was called Melech, but you're right, Avram is called Malchus. He's the sphere of Chesed, but he also has a Sheikh to Malchus. That's called Va'isa Chesed the Meshicha. You're supposed to have to do Chesed to the Malchus. And Eliezer is considered to be so. Yeah. 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 So the motivational energy, which is Yesod, needs a very big Shmira, and it needs multiple Shmiras, meaning that even if a person is Zaycha, that he's able to have motivational energy towards Ruchnias, the process of being Shomer Bris never ends, because to always fine-tune it more and more and more and more and more towards the actual Tachlis, which is called the Malchus. Malchus is the destination, right? Like, the physical manifestation of that is that the Zachar, the Ish, he has the tipa, and it needs a destination, and that's the nukva. And so he has to steer it in the right direction. So the malchus, which is the isha, she's the destination. The destination is the goal. That's the coach, the hainu. The malchus is how much a person is zeroed in on the goal.
Yetzer tov.
And, huh?
Yetzer tov.
That's called the yetzer tov. So yetzer tov is tachlis consciousness, whereas yetzer hara is motivational consciousness. And the motivation has to be machni itself to the Yetzer HaTov, which is the goal. It's not that the Yetzer HaTov is supposed to kill the Yetzer Hara, because then a person has no drive. Then he's that guy who is disassociated and he has no connection whatsoever. A person has to be connected to the Tachlis if he's going to reach the Tachlis. That's called the Zivug of Yisod and Malchus. When you confuse these two things together, that Yichud gives birth to the actual tolda, like Chazal say, tolda same shot tzadikim, chuvin ma'isim toivim. That tolda, we're talking about noyach shmiras avris, is the result of this fusion. That's called ve'ahavta b'chol levavcha. Yeah, when there's a b'chol levavcha, b'yitzah hatov and the yitzah hara, that's called ve'ahavta. That you reveal the tachlis, and now you're makusher to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's called the ahava. Ava's Gematria Echad, you're Messiachi with the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're Makusher, that's the Yitzhahara's participation in all this. So it goes like this. The fact that you're Makusher, that comes from the Yitzhahara. The fact that you're Makusher with the Eivishter, that's the Yitzhahara with the Yitzhahara. Because you have the right destination, you're connecting with the Eivishter.
That's why Yosef is the, I guess the the model of Yisod, because he had the most drive,
mm-hmm.
and he took that drive to conquer Mitzrayim. He became Melech of Mitzrayim.
That's right. His mistake was that wasn't the right destination. Meaning, you're right. To have to go down to Mitzrayim, to put everything on the line, your Ruchnias, your Gashmias, he gave up his life to go to Mitzrayim. Whoa, wow.
It's here.
We're talking about motivation and the drive to come, and you walked in.
Shame is clearly a good motivator.
Exactly. Who else can we pick out next time?
Yeah. That's why,
Michael Schertz, we miss you.
If you can make it here, Michael Schertz,
you win. You win.
That's lovely.
You're gonna upstage Andy.
What a Swiss Andy.
See, Mordechai is a great example of a motivator. A person is a yesod. to be a guy in the shul, you need to be somebody who's a motivator. Totally. You need to be a motivator. You need to be a person.
Rabbi Weinberg called you Mordechai Tzaddik this morning. In the
Look at that. You need to be somebody who's a motivator.
This is a way of making sure you never retire.
It's a captain. It's a captain. You have a C in your jersey when you're a gabbai. It's a position which doesn't give out the aliyahs. It has to be a person that he feels an achrayas to inspire the tzibur.
So everyone, now, if anyone here feels that they have yesod, I'm sure everyone right now is thinking, like, am I more yesod or am I more malchus, right? David HaMelech is the world of malchus, which is, he's a total zero in Hashem's eyes. And Yosef is yesod, he was able to go out there. If someone feels like they're a yesod, it feels to me, what you're saying is, if you're not attached to malchus, if you're not machni yourself to a rav, you are putting yourself in it's not your wife.
Yeah.
Like, it's because this makes a lot of sense when it comes to alpha males and women and some. There's a lot here with the world.
Alpha males.
I'm sorry, Zuckers and the Kavas. Like, there's a lot here that you could unpack about even relationships, about men and women, and what type of guys go with what type of girl. Like, there's a lot here. But, like, in this moment, though, if somebody's a Zuckar and he does not have a rav that is malchus, that he is machnia to. If he's just floating around hearing shiurim, if he's shtiblaching, or if he doesn't have a rebbe that he says, I'm willing to put my das on the line, he could almost never know if he's going for the tachlis.
Here's the thing. You're absolutely right. And that was the next point. But here's the thing. Where the lines are crossing is that, and this is really what you alluded to, in which needs, which you're asking really for clarity, is that, let's say an isha is called malchus, yeah? Now, let's say I call the Rav the Malchus. So wait, if the Malchus is the destination I'm giving to, I see that I'm giving towards the Isha. But how? If my Rebbe is my Malchus, I'm not giving toward, meaning if he's the Melech, which means that he's on top of me, or is he the Malchus that he's receiving from me? Meaning, what is Malchus? You understand?
I wasn't thinking that.
You're thinking that? No.
Thank you for elevating what I thought. Okay. But I want to be clear that I wasn't thinking that at all. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for making whatever I thought more of.
Right. So it goes like this. The way that the Yesod knows how to get to Malchus, the right destination, yeah? How does Esau know what the right destination is? Where the right Malchus is?
Comes first.
Huh?
Malchus comes first.
No. Right now, Malchus is the receiver. There's the way to come in, but there's the way to come down. Right. Meaning, Yesod is receiving from on top.
Chabad.
Oh. Your Rebbe is your Chabad, you understand?
Very good.
So the Chabad is telling, the Chochma Bina and Das, or the Keser, is telling the Yesod where to go. He's giving him the Meichin to know who to give to. Where are you supposed to be dropping off this tipa? Where is the malchus? Who's the receiver? Where is the tachlis? So who's your chabad in your life? Who are you getting your tipa from? He's going to tell you where your destination is. But if you have all this motivational energy and you're looking for your malchus, you're looking for where you're supposed to put this stuff, right? You're going to see many, many different possibilities. Who's going to tell you where the right malchus is for you to go? And everybody's going to be different, by the way. Of course, there's one final destination, that's the Eibishter, but we all have a different path. We all have different moichin, although it's all the same. Your Rebbe is your Chabad, who tells your Yesod who your malchus is. Where are you supposed to be investing your energy? Where are you supposed to be going?
You know what's tremendous about this? This is so tremendous. Because sometimes people that are big Yesods own their Rebbes. Sometimes when you're big, you say you got a lot of money, and you start being a big philanthropist, and the Rebbe's scared to say a word to you.
That's not a Rebbe, then.
So he goes from being Chabad to being Malchus.
Right. How can you play both sides of the coin?
So it's a distortion of even your Rebbe, and you don't know that because there's some Yesides out there that are like, what do you mean? You're the chairman of the, whatever, you're a chash of a guy. And it's sometimes, it's a total b'na hafochu of how it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Very good point. That's right.
Sometimes even if you're a doctor, the rabbis have to work for the doctor. I don't know where I'm going into that world now, but
yeah.
There's some places that the rabbis are machnia to the doctors versus the doctors are up to the rabbis.
Yeah.
That's not political.
Did I say that on tape? Yeah,
Yeah, you got
Yosef
Zoom
and recording.
Yosef is the paradigm of Sod.
Yeah.
How does the Rimmun fit in there? Is that why he's punished?
This is the thing. This is a very beautiful sugi in Pimis Atayra in terms of the machlokas between Yosef and Yehuda, in terms of what the real malchus was. Because this is going to determine whether the malchus belongs to Yehuda or the malchus belongs to Yosef. You understand? there was a machlokis between Yehuda and Yosef. It's really a Shabbos shir type of a sugya.
Give us a taste. Tom, it's almost time.
It's not for this Shabbos.
It'll get Josh to buy a house here. Don't worry about it. We got some Lawrence guys. They're going to come move in. We got to show them what they're missing.
You have to buy a house in your Shalai.
No, that's... We spoke about Eretz Yisrael. So, not going to go back there now. The Malchus was the Machlekes between Yehuda and Yosef. What's the destination? Yosef certainly had a connection to Yaakov Avinu. He was the Ben Zakunim. Yosef had a Chabad. He made his Chabad Yaakov Avinu. Yet he went down to Mitzrayim. And according to Yehuda, he made a mistake. That there was a flaw in the relationship between Yosef and Yaakov. Even though Yosef was so makusher to Yaakov, he was the Ben Zakunin, he looked like him. Chazal say everything which happened to Yosef happened to Yaakov. There was something felt in the relationship between Yosef and Yaakov that Yehuda understood. That Yehuda sold him to Mitzrayim, because he was off the mark. He was off the mark in everything that Yaakov was trying to teach him. As if to say like this, you don't find anywhere in the Torah, per se, that Yehuda, you really do, but you have to see it very carefully, that Yehuda is more mekusher to Yaakov than even Yosef is.
I'll be the Arif.
Wow. And he comes down to Yosef and he says, if you take Binyamin, you're going to kill our father. I mean, very subtly you see the connection between Yehuda and Yaakov. But the relationship between Yehuda and Yaakov was more of his kashrus than even Yosef has to Yaakov after all is said and done. Which is why the Malchus goes to Yehuda. And not to say it goes to Yehuda, Yaakov gives the Malchus to Yehuda before he passes away. As if to say,
right,
I side with Yehuda and I don't side with Yosef. After everything was said and done.
But because of the Arevis now.
Hmm? Well, the Arevis was a simon to the fact that Yaakov had a bigger hiskashrus to Yaakov than Yosef. Meaning, even though you don't see in the Torah how much Yehuda and Yaakov are interacting, the interactions are not so great. You see much more how Yosef is interacting with Yaakov. But the fact that Yehuda is given the Malchus means that the real hiskashrus was between Yehuda and Yaakov even more than Yosef and Yaakov.
What was Yosef's mistake?
Huh?
What was Yosef's mistake?
That's a Shabbos morning show.
Perfect. I love that. That's great. You set that up perfectly, right, by the way. That was a perfect setup.
Yaakov became the
see you tomorrow.
Example.
This is the house we sell down the block. That's the next line.
Yaakov flipped. He became, Yaakov was more the Malchus than the Chabad. He, with Yosef, he wasn't giving. He was receiving. Like he was. Yosef was doing the motivation. Yaakov was letting him do his thing, and he wasn't giving him the direction in terms of.
No, he was. No, Yaakov was certainly giving direction to Yosef. Yaakov learned with Yosef every day. He taught him the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver. He set him up. He set him up with the Malchus. He set him up with the Malchus. What?
This is why Yosef remembered Yaakov's face.
That's right. There was certainly a scotch. Yosef felt that this is what Yaakov wanted of him. To go down to Mitzrayim.
Isn't it funny because the interactions you see in the Torah between Yosef and Yaakov on the one end and Yehuda and Yaakov, you only see them fighting.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you don't see the hiskash between Yehuda and Yaakov. You don't see it.
It has to be he's
but it was more.
He had to be machniyat.
Okay, that's what Hod is all about. That's what Chanukah is all about. It's the Beis Medrash. Yeah.
But there had to have been something that Yosef did to separate himself from his father.
You see clearly that there was a separation. Okay, we're going a little bit. I'm not going any farther than that. You can see one last point on that. You see the separation between...
Because now you said it. I can't... We're in it now.
There's one... You can see the slight disconnect between Yosef and Yaakov. Is that Yosef is sold down to Mitzrayim. And Yaakov holds himself responsible for that. Why? Because he wasn't Malave Yosef. What does it mean, Rabbi Yisrael, Yaakov wasn't Malave Yosef? What it means to be Malave.
Chabad down to Yosef?
Yeah, meaning that there's a disconnect. You understand? Yaakov forgot to daven in the place that his forefather davened, and he went back, and he's like, how could I forget such a thing? He saw that as a chit that he shouldn't forget. You think that if Yaakov doesn't make the mitzvah, believe what he's like, oh my gosh, I forgot again. doesn't think that way. He's like, there's something wrong here. There's something wrong here. If I didn't do a malava, a proper malava malka to Yosef, that means that my his kashrus is off with Yosef. If a person doesn't do malava malka on Motzei Shabbos, something's off with your Shabbos. You understand? You're lacking in your Shabbos. How could you not be malava the Shabbos if you're connected to the Shabbos?
Such a good point.
You understand?
And it's so true, because if a guest comes over to your house and you're not malava him out, it's something wrong in the relationship to the guest.
Yeah.
It's funny, because we usually look at that diak as that's the dafka, the hiskashrus of them, that Yosef was still alive, that there still was a kesher between, you know. So
yeah.
We typically look at it as, oh, you see how strong the kesher is.
Right. Right. So you do see how essentially strong it is, that it was able to endure. But the fact that Yosef had to go through Shiva Maduri Gehenim, Yehuda felt that was unnecessary. And this is a very big lekach in Avodas Hashem. I spoke to a little Jeremy spoke about before. If you go through the act of precious, which is like you put yourself in Shiva Maduri Gehenim to find Hashem, you have to ask yourself if it's really necessary. If it's actually really necessary to do that.
What is Sephardi agree with you?
Okay, let's see. When Mashiach comes, let's see where the Sfardim fall and fall into Yehuda.
We're from Yehuda. We're from Yehuda. We Sfardim him.
So you start off by saying it's a blend.
Exactly.
Of Yisod and Malchus. And here we see there's a separation of Yisod and Malchus. So Yosef and Yehuda have different paths.
So here, Yosef's mistake was that he was not machni himself to Yehuda. That would be Yosef, Yisod giving to Malchus. Yosef thought that he was the Malchus. And so therefore Yehuda should be machni himself to him. I mean, the question was, who was the Yisod, who was the Malchus?
Didn't he do that at the end? When Yehuda came into him, that's when he broke down.
That was the finale. That was the moment where it became clear that Yehuda was right and Yosef was wrong.
That's when he
had no choice. I mean, it became clear in that moment who's the real Melech.
You know what's interesting in this paradigm that you're creating for us is the following. There's a level of hachna that comes down top to bottom. A level of hachna that comes bottom. There's a level of hachna from Chabad, let's say, to Yesod. But there's also a level of hachna from Yesod to Malchus. But you would think that Malchus is the makabel of the hashpa of the thing that's on top. But still, there's a hachna in the giving for it to be proper giving.
That's right. So Chazal say about an Isha, gochan v'lachishla, right? Even though you're the giver, you have to be machnir yourself to give properly. You have to have a certain kavod for your makabel, for your destination.
Right.
There's one way to look at the person who receives from you as being lower than you, because you're giving to it,
right.
And there's a way of looking at it as because they're receiving, they're even higher than you.
Right.
That's like mitamida yosim mikulam. The hashkafa of mitamida yosim mikulam means pnimiyas hatorah is able to be megala how it's shaykh that there's a dagat that the makabel has, which can even be higher. That's called the eishes chayal teres bala. That's why Shabbos is the makabel for the whole week. Shabbos, have a reverence for Shabbos.
Right. Could it be connected to the fact that I was learning this thing that in the way in the world of Ruchni works is that there is no hashpa that comes into this world that is not being first stimulated by a desire from the bottom.
That's
so
it.
Really, the makabel is what brings you life.
That's
even
right.
Though you look like you're the man because you're the mashpia,
yeah.
You wouldn't exist unless the makabel had a rutzon.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Meaning, the mashpia, exactly. The mashpia feels
that's
like,
right.
The Rebbe feels like,
he
right.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for the Talmidim's interest, he wouldn't have a Rebbe.
Right.
So really,
that's
the Rebbe's
right.
giving. But really, the Rebbe's only giving because they want.
That's
so he's really taking.
That's right. That's
right.
Right.
Yeah. Malice chesed is only as strong as the
acceptance.
That's
right. That's
right.
Right. That's right.
What specific idea or thing happened with Yosef that he...
Don't go back. We're not going to...
You have to come to Shabbos.
You have to come to
Shabbos. We're putting people up to Shabbos. We're building a hotel. That's turning into a little boutique hotel.
Good try, Aaron. I can't hear you. I'm fighting with the vacuum cleaner over here. Yeah. It's all the dogma, the whole sefer of Yosef and Yehuda, is all the dogma of the inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef has to learn to be machni himself to Mashiach ben David. The whole sefer is just a ma'aseh of similar bond.
So that's the reason why he should be machni, because if he's
going to
have that power, then he has to be able to...
Yeah.
Why did Yosef have the dreams? Shabbos.
when Yosef and Yaakov see each other for the first time and hug, and Yosef's crying, right? Yaakov is just saying Shema Yisrael without emotion, apparently. Maybe that's the moment where Yosef realizes I'm not Malchus. And for Yaakov, maybe for a time thought, Yosef was, and that's Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He realized in that moment why that's all.
Maybe. You should get together now.
Let's just draw back here. Let me finish where we started last week, which is Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara, Yesod Malchus. Right, just so that we have it clear, which is the motivation and the drive that we have is part of the normal goal of life. But as we have such drives, we have to always be sure that not only do our drives go to the mouth, go, not only is our drives coming from Chabad, it's going to Malchus. And so as we engage in the drives of life, we have to always be in the process of having micro precious and these steps of Amunah, or else we'll never really, I mean, we're at risk of just driving around the, like we're almost at risk of going lapping life, when the truth is we're not really elevating unless we're willing to always upgrade what we do by getting rid of the usual. Like that's at, like tachlis litmus test. Yeah. If we look at our lives and it looks exactly like last year, and all we're doing is dodging averus and mitzvahs better, yeah, we're really not elevating off the ground unless we're looking at our lives and going, okay, here's my physical life. What can I betachlis get rid of to elevate from, in order to have a moment of amuna to then get chayim, to get tov in areas right of greater.
So like the very important, like one thing you might do is say, look, so I'm not going to sit in there and see the Sheldon today. I'm going to learn Black Gemara instead.
Totally, that's exactly where my head was at. Exactly where my head was at. And that's exactly where my head was.
Joshua was sitting in the corner waiting.
An hour for that line. You ever see Seinfeld? You ever see the George Costanza Seinfeld when he flies across the world and delivers the line, the jerk store.
You know
that one? That's what the jerk store moment.
He's been sitting there the whole time.
He's been waiting an hour for them to see Michelle in line.
Yeah. I want to qualify that, but like this. Everything has to have the proper perspective and the backdrop. What catches us off guard when we start to think in this way in terms of like what I'm willing to give up for the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? It needs a big shmir, because then I think that I have to give up, like I'm sacrificing. I'm giving away. I feel it's hard for me. It's a loss.
And he said that you're enjoying. You're like, I can't believe I just enjoyed what I ate.
But you can get caught other way too.
Like, no, for sure. No, but that's the thing. Right? That's exactly the problem. It can go either way. You're not right down the middle. Yeah. You could
be sitting in a Pesach program going, Hashem wants me to have cheres, so I need to have seven. Yeah. Yeah. And everyone's like, come on, stop it. You're on a Pesach program. Just enjoy yourself. Say your gashmi. Don't now tie God into this morning.
I happen to like the breakfast that my wife served this morning, so I'm not going to eat anything. I'm going to fast for the whole day.
I'm just saying, but like we have to be. There's a in the material world. If you have to, if tie goes to the runner, like we're usually trying to justify materialism.
Right. So that's why there has to be a perspective, and that's what I try to always call it Kabbalah from Malchus Shamayim. That's a perspective, meaning why we have to like always go back to the Shayrish. That's what Pnimius really means, the process of always going back to the Shayrish, because the Shayrish is always the Pnimius, right? So if a person, let's say he's in a mode where he's thinking about this process of micro precious, of moving forward, of Kenyan Chalipin, etc. Yeah? If it's not with the backdrop of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, which is like, why am I doing all this? Meaning, if I'm just looking at it as like, I have to give up, that's where the Christiani went off the deep end. We're like, that the service of God is about giving up yourself. It's not. It's about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. It comes from a place of, where your Meichin? I mean, always go back to the Meichin of where this is coming from. Of like, I'm not living for myself. I'm living because I'm a creation of Hashem. Mm-hmm. He has what's best for me. He's the master. He tells me what to do. I'm machniyah myself to Him. That's why I do that. And that's really why we don't begin any Tanuge Gashmi at all until we daven. You can't eat, you can't do anything, because davening is the mode every day called Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. You say Shema, you daven. We look at it very Shulchan Aruch, like, don't eat until you daven first. L'seichel al adam. That translates into the following thing. You don't live for yourself, okay? Hashem created the world, He's the boss. He wants that you should be connected to him and to Ruchni Stick of Things. Because of that, go through something called davening, which is the process of Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim, and then take something into your mouth. And then think about what you should be eating this morning, how much you should be eating, when you should be eating. But if it's just a matter of like just removing yourself from the process, then you don't have the brakshav. You're just going through the yesod without the meichin. And if you're going through the yesod without the meichin, then you're not understanding what this is all about. Then you're not going to end up with the malchus. You may be doing the pa'ulas of what it means to be a pirish, but if you don't have the chabad constantly telling you, don't forget the destination, you're just going to get caught up in yesod and you're not going to be giving to the malchus at all. Because the chabad is steering you towards the malchus. Every day the meichin you get are according to how well you daven, how well you learned in the morning before you engage in gashem is. If you had a good davening, if you had a good seder, your gash was going to be good that day. If you didn't, then you could be a pirish. But you're not giving to the malchus and you're not heading towards the nasad and the Hashem wants.
That's the danger of doing preaches in the long run. Because right. Preaches then becomes just a measure of yisod.
It becomes the original also.
Yeah.
Okay.
What a bracha!